Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values, political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Something's beginning to shift on the Temple Mount, but does it amount to anything? We'll discuss the biggest rumor of war happening this week. Hey, it seems like just a week ago, the Board of Peace was merely an idea, but now they've had their first meeting. We'll meet you at the intersection of pestilence and disasters, arriving at our final destination of some good news. Whether our news, though, is good or bad, it's all part of the Signs of the Times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, February 20th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your friends. You can read the articles that we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you simply visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now here's someone who asked his wife, "Will you still love me when I'm no longer attractive?" She said, "I do, honey." And that's Pastor Mark, who recently went to the doctor and complained that his back hurts when he wakes up in the morning. So the doctor told him to wake up in the afternoon instead. So
there you go. That solves it all. That old joke, you know, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that. Just don't do that.
Yes. That's another Bob Newhart video waiting to happen.
Well, the good thing about Tracy loving me when I'm already not handsome is that it can't change. So we're good there.
Oh, too funny. Okay. All right. Before we get into our articles, you wanted to kind of make a correction or an update on the whole map issue that we talked about last week and whatever else is on your heart before we get into the articles.
Yeah, because I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Iranian thing, too, and just kind of some discussion moments, and we'll get into the articles. But yeah, we mentioned last week about some maps online that you can go and look at. I talked about the 10 regions on the UN map. Actually, that's the Club of Rome map. There's two major places to go and see kind of this one world government coming together. That's the UN and the Club of Rome. Club of Rome have been around for a long time. By the way, the Club of Rome, the guys that are doing the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab started. He was one of the founding members of the Club of Rome. So, again, the Club of Rome is the one that broke the world up in 10 regions. That's where the map is. I thought they were on at the UN as well. It's not. So if you want to get the map of the 10 regions, look at the Club of Rome's website, the regions of the world, and you'll find it there. The one that the UN has is the technology map, the expansion of technology worldwide. Mm. And they show how the technology is going to be advancing in the world and being used around the globe. And that's the one that's interesting we talked about in the sense of...
That has 10 regions as well.
Well, what's interesting is it includes like the states, Canada, Mexico, Venezuela, all the things, Cuba, the areas that Trump's kind of moving in to kind of take over in a sense.
Yeah.
Greenland. They're included in that kind of a technological side of it. And remember, a big part of the whole last days is going to be the mark of the beast, technology. And the technology, I mean, the things that are happening right now, I mean, technologically, look.
The robotics.
I'm kind of glad. Oh, yeah. But I'm kind of glad. Look, people that want to run and hide and do their bunkers, forget it. That's going to do you no good. Mm-mm. They're going to find you in no time. You're easy to find. We talked about even the metals in our body cannot be detected by satellite, no matter where you are in the world, through walls, through everything. So you can't get away from what's coming. And I think here's why this is healthy for the church. I think there's a temptation for the church to run away and hide and do our bunker and get our compound and have all our, and there's nothing wrong in being prepared. Look, I get it, being prepared. But we weren't called to run from all the world and hide from the last days. We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the fact that this ability to hide is now, it's at this point, is virtually gone. That's a good thing. It frees up the Christians from trying to run because they can't. Look, just get out there and preach the gospel and trust God with your life.
You know, to that point, Pastor Mark, and I don't know if you've been following the story of Nancy Guthrie's kidnapping in Arizona.
Well, yeah, it's the news has. How can you not follow it? It's like every night it's on the news.
Well, what's interesting is that is as sad as that situation is, it's forced the hand of the government in total to reveal some of its capabilities.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the capabilities is the technology sniffer,
yep,
or whatever it is, yep, that can somehow detect her pacemaker.
Yep.
So anyway, it just made me think about that when you were talking about, hey, listen, you can't hide, they're going to find you. And it's like, well, that's one example of how they can work to find you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's new technology. Now, again, here's the thing. It's you have to be, I think, it's something within 700 feet. So a helicopter, though, can fly over an area 600 feet high. They're doing it right now. They're going flying at 600 feet above the area, and it shoots out this thing that can pick up the pacemaker. And by the way, the pacemaker will last for years and years and years and years. When she dies, the pacemaker doesn't.
Yeah.
So even if she's not alive anymore, that pacemaker is still going. And the problem is you got lots of pacemakers, right? So, however, if you drop down low and you're in desert areas looking for, you have a real good chance of finding something like that. It's kind of like a metal detector, you know, type thing. But again, there's so many ways. Again, mm-hmm, that's just, look, the metals in our bodies right now, just from life and eating foods, they can pick those up and get signals from those. And again, there's just so much. We need to trust the Lord and just relax. And one of my daughters was the other day, there's so many conspiracy theories, and I'm sure a lot of them may even be true, who knows? But there's so many conspiracy theories about the whole world is now, you know, and even Christians under a big delusion, whatever. Look, the Lord is going to keep his church in the know and going fine. He's running the show, not the enemy. We need not be afraid. He's just relax, live life, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make a strong stand for Jesus Christ, and God will work out the details. And you know, to die is gain. I'm not saying people want to die, but we have to pray. Don't let me lose my fear of death and just be a witness for Christ. And you know, again, it's going to be a glorious moment when we step into the kingdom. As Paul said, it's way better for me to go and be with the Lord than to be here with you guys. And so, you know, I know we fear that moment of death, but God will give grace even at that. We need, as Christians, we've got to rise above that and be that testimony and that witness. So, that's where the maps are. Now, a little bit about the Iranian thing. Let's discuss this again, because I want our Signs of the Times listeners to be kind of aware and on top of this stuff. Like, here's the bottom line. Here's what we know. When people say, what's going to happen? I don't know. I do believe there is going to definitely be a military campaign. We're too deeply entrenched in this. There's too much. Yeah, there's going to be a military campaign. That's going to happen. But at the same time, talking about, you know, is this when Ezekiel 38 and 39 takes place? Let me say this. It could be. We need to always be ready. However, it doesn't fit the model perfectly, because you've got to have a time where Russia and Iran feel they can move on Israel and get away with it. You've got the entire armada, military almost, of the United States of America sitting out in the ocean. They're not going to think they can get away with anything. Now, the only possible way they could is for somehow a nuclear device to be right there in the ocean and take out all of America's stuff all at one time. It's all gathered in one place. Somebody gets a nuclear device, and now America is totally annihilated as far as our military. I mean, if that happened, we're done. And I don't know anybody that could, but if somebody pulled something like that, if somebody was able to pull that off, you know, Russia or somebody, and they had something close enough in a submarine, and they send something up, and okay, now we're going to fight back. Well, it doesn't matter. You've got all your major guys here, your warships and all your stuff, and you couldn't get the whole region, but you could take out a big part of the American military. If something like that happened, I could see Iran and Russia going, okay, we did it. They're neutralized. Now let's go get Israel, and they go try to get them. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. That's the only scenario I could see for it happening right now, but God knows. It is interesting, because I think what's going to happen is probably taking care of Iran and then America backing off and sending all their stuff back home and getting resettled and other things happening. But whatever's going to happen in Iran, there's going to be leadership still in charge, whether they're lying or whether or not they're going to be taken over later, that is going to move against Israel. Because if they go in and take all the bad guys out, they're still going to move on Israel. So they either are going to leave some bad guys, or people that get in are going to be secret bad guys, or whoever gets in is going to be taken out soon and the bad guys will get back in, because they are still going to move on Israel. So don't think because America is going to go in and they're saying this could be a 3-week military campaign, don't think that's going to, you know, stop them from moving on Israel. What it's going to do is, again, when they move on Israel with ground forces, that tells me they don't have a nuclear weapon. So I do believe God's keeping them from getting a nuclear weapon. We already did it once. This may be further keeping them from getting a nuclear weapon. Because if they had a nuclear weapon, why march against them on the ground? Send the nuke in, get rid of Israel, then go on the ground offensive, which we know isn't going to happen biblically. So, but either way, be watching, because it is interesting. Guess who is out there doing military exercises right now together in the oceans around all this is Russia and Iran. They're actually right now doing combined military exercises with all this other stuff that's out there with America. So it's kind of like you've got the weaponry there for somebody to use a nuclear device. And see, typically you think nuclear device, nobody's going to do that because then America unleashes all the stuff we have. But if we would still, with what we have here, be able to destroy Russia and anybody else. They probably wouldn't do it. But think about it. Man, if you were able to neutralize with some kind of electronic thing, an electromagnetic pulse weapon over America, or somehow neutralize our ability to fire nukes, if you drop something right in the middle of the biggest portion of some of these warships, now they're spread out everywhere. They're up in the Suez. I mean, they're all over the place. They're Red Sea, and they're all over Mediterranean. I mean, so you couldn't get them all at once. But boy, if you did, wow. And it's interesting. We do know that the oceans are going to be polluted at some point. Now, we talk about the mountains there, the asteroids flying in, the meteors in Revelation, they're going to hit the ocean and turn it to blood. But, you know, wouldn't that be a twist if something nuclear happened and took out all of America's forces there and defiled the oceans and turned it to blood, and then Russia and Iran move on Israel? You know, the bottom line is be ready. He's coming at an hour we don't expect. And who knows what's going to take place or when it's going to take place. So we need to be watching. But on paper, I don't see this as the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, because I think with this much resistance there, Russia and Iran, they're not going to try anything. Now, you may see an attack by Iran on Israel. They're going to unleash. I think, Greg, you know, this is like a wild dog backed in a corner. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to die, but you might as well bite as many people as you can. I think they're going to send everything they can toward Israel and maybe even toward the U.S. If it go to Israel first, but if they think we're going to be destroyed anyway, what does it matter? I mean... Can you imagine the victory they would have if they dropped something in the middle of a carrier and took it out and sunk it? I mean, they'd be like the Middle East celebration of you know, thousands of years. Oh, yeah. I mean, it would go, it'd be nuts over there. So I'm not saying any of that's going to happen, and the Bible doesn't give us details about what's happening right now. But just know that whatever happens, there's probably going to be a military campaign. It's not going to take out the leadership's still going to be there. We'll talk articles in a moment. But be watch, you know, keep your eye on Ezekiel 38 and 39, although it doesn't appear on paper to be something that could mold into that right now. You never know. And just pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. Pray for the United States. There's going to be some rapid changes, either a different leadership in America that blends into the one world government, or America's got to be neutralized. So keep those two options in mind. Either America is suddenly and surprisingly taken out, and now we're not a world power anymore. And when you get all of our military like that, it's kind of scary in one spot. But if we got taken out, boom, that changes the world system overnight. Overnight. And but either way, if we get a new leader in, think about it. Somebody comes in that is the exact opposite, kind of a reactionary vote. Mm-hmm. From what President Trump has done, you know, it swings right and left, right and left, right and left, and it gets a little farther each time because one side pushes it, and the other side comes back and just yanks it all back. I mean, you think about when President Trump came in signing all these executive orders, you know, right off the bat, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to reverse all that and probably add 100 more to it to make a point. It's going to be slam the conservatives, kill them, crush them. I think if you get the right person in, if he has any charisma and any strength and any leadership, this could go so far the other way where you're going to see not just transitional surgeries in children, but, you know, babies at birth doing stuff, deciding I want my boy to be a girl, I want my girl to be a boy. You're going to see, I mean, it's going to get so radical that God's got to judge it at some point. Mm. And Either way, keep your eye. I know you guys are. Keep your eye on all this, but it's we live in very exciting times, and these are the days of the Bible. Prophecies happening before our eyes. We need to be watching for the return of the Lord and be ready. This is not a time to be sleeping. Don't be sleeping, believer. Don't sit back. We need to be about our Father's business and realize the Lord could come at any moment. And when He comes back, we should be those that He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you were going for it while I was, you were ready, you were watching. I want to be watching. I want to be ready. And I'd rather be watching and be ready and Him not come back in my lifetime and be rewarded for that than to not be watching and not be ready and He come back in my lifetime and say, why weren't you watching and why weren't you ready? So either way, guys, be ready. So praise the Lord.
All right, our lone Israel article this week comes from the Jerusalem Post. This is dated February 13th. Jews pray on Jerusalem's Temple Mount as decades-old status quo begins to shift. Is this a big deal, or is this just a whole lot of nothing?
Huge.
Okay.
No, this is huge, Greg, and I'll tell you why. Look, there have been Jews for years now, small numbers of them, going up on the Temple Mount to pray, but very insignificant. And you know, they go up there and they get yelled at the whole time by the Muslims on the Temple Mount. I was up there, you know, here maybe the last trip we were on, and there some people came up there, some Jews, and they're yelling at them, giving them a hard time. That happens. But this, what's so significant here is now there are larger numbers on a more regular basis being escorted in by the police and being allowed to come up and pray. This is a shift. And this is very prophetic in that we know the third temple will be rebuilt. There are already discussions about allowing the Jews to pray on the Temple Mount and in order to have peace between, you know, the two-state solution. Those conversations are already happening. There's actually some among the Muslim community that are saying, you know, it's not that bad if somebody, if they come up here, and the, but most of them are still against it. But, I mean, there's a shift happening. It's going to happen. They're going to be praying up there. There's going to be a third temple built by that's going to be built by the Antichrist. They're going to think he's their Messiah. We all know that prophetically. But yes, this is showing a massive shift. If you tried to do this even 10 years ago, you'd have riots up there.
Hmm.
Escorted by police, a group of about 25 walked across the Temple Mount Esplanade to the steps leading up to the Dome of the Rock, the site where the first and second temples once stood, at least people believe. They climbed a few steps toward the mosque, singing Yadid Nefesh, which means soulmate, usually sung on Friday nights among the Jews, heading into, again, the Sabbath, wearing a white kerchief covering her hair. Alana said she had immigrated to Israel from Ukraine. Again, there are Jews from all over the world. God's bringing them home like He said He would do, guys. And I quote, I used to go to pray at the Kotel. Now, the Kotel, that's the Western Wall. They call it the Kotel. It means the Western Wall.
Hmm.
She said, I used to go there, and that's where still the majority of the Jews go, referring to the Western Wall, just below the Temple Mount. But then I started coming here when I had the opportunity. So now that Jews are finding out, hey, we're able to go up there, and they're not really fighting us, we're going to start doing it. Greg, they want on the Temple Mount. That's where they want to pray. They're at the Western Wall, which used to be called the Wailing Wall, because they were there praying, going, we want to be back on the Temple Mount. The whole point of praying at the Western Wall is because they couldn't be on the Temple Mount. If you tell them, hey, you can get on the Temple Mount now, this place is going to pack out. It feels very special to pray here, she said. A few Muslims sitting nearby a stone wall watched the group silently, but they did nothing. And I quote, it does disturb some people, but it doesn't bother me, said one Muslim that was there. If they do it quietly, it's okay. People should worship God in the way they want.
Okay.
I mean, think about
that.
But other Palestinians disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
A group of three women from Galilee who said they come about once a week to pray at the mosque for their families and for those who were killed in Gaza frowned as they watched the Jewish group. This place is for Islam, and Jews are supposed to pray at the wall, they said. So, again, you're going to have that kind of stuff, and it's interesting because now, you know, they're going to be up there praying, and then here's the thing, too. If the guys that wear the, if they start letting the guys get up there in their, you know, I started calling them the Nephilim, the Sephardic Jews, the
Hasidic?
Hasidic, thank you. The Hasidim, that's why I was saying Nephilim,
yeah.
The Hasidim. They're the ones that wear all the garments and the phylacteries, the thing on their head, hands. Well, that has the Word of God in it. And they don't allow Bibles up there. So that's going to be something where those guys won't be able to go up there probably because of their phylacteries and all that.
And would they even want to go up there, Pastor Mark, right now?
No, not them. Here's why. And that's a great point to bring up. The Jews, the religious Jews in general would.
Yeah.
But the Hasidic Jews, they believe they would say this. Here's a Hasidic Jew. We have no right to Israel or Jerusalem right now because until the Messiah comes back. They believe until the Messiah comes back, they have no right. Well, You're fighting against yourself. Wake up. You're saying, I live here and we're here, but we really don't belong here. What in the world? I mean, I tell you, you talk about a confused people. The Jews are a confused people. And I feel sorry, especially for the religious Jews like that. It's a mess. But again, because the word of God being up there, I remember, and Greg, you know the story, but I went up there, maybe the first trip we ever went, we went up on the Temple Mount. I didn't know you couldn't take a Bible. So I had this little smaller Bible. It's probably about 5 or 6 inches tall by three inches, you know, just less nice, but it was thick. It's probably, you know, a good inch thick. It wasn't like a tiny Bible. And I had it in my backpack. I didn't hide it. And so, but they didn't catch it. See, if they check you when you go in, if they'd have caught it, they'd have told me I couldn't come in, and I'd have realized it. I didn't know. So I go up there and I start doing this little revelation thing up there next to the mosque, you know. And I see this this Muslim guy pacing back and forth very nervously, and but that guy seems agitated, man. I don't know why he's so agitated. I got to keep my eye on him. He was agitated because they don't allow Bibles up there, and I'm standing there holding it open on the Temple Mount. In the glory of heaven, here's the Bible. Praise the Lord. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Now, but I didn't get beat up, and I didn't start World War III. You know, I could just see, you know, Tennessee and, pastor.
And you're up there reading from Revelation, reading about the world's demise for those that are not in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. I'm thinking Tennessee pastor starts rock concert on Temple Mount, you know, as they throw rocks.
Too funny.
You know, yeah. So again, but either way, this is huge because what's happening is it shows Greg a prophetic shift. It's like, okay, there's always been a drip, okay, at the sink. A few Jews ever so often. There's been a drip.
Yep.
Now there's this little stream. There's a little stream running. Somebody touched that knob a little bit and moved it. And it's almost like they did it, and now the Muslims are watching going, okay.
Well,
and now they get used to that, and now it's going to be, again, it'll be turned on when they make these decisions about the Temple Mount and the Third Temple.
Well, and I was going to say, and that's exactly what needs to happen for the Antichrist to come in there, to bring peace to the Temple Mount, because there has to be some sort of strife going on in order for that peace to be as magnified as it will be in the eyes of the world to every other world leader that's tried to do it in the past, and now this guy does it.
And I think there's also going to have to be an adjustment. This is kind of, I think, the adjustment period, because if he just walked in tomorrow and said, we're putting a temple here, well, the world would explode.
Yeah.
But look at this. If you start this, Greg, where it's kind of like the water get the water warm, and we'll get it hotter as we go. Yeah. You let your body adjust to it. You know, you're not diving in and doing the cold plunge.
Remember President Trump's first term when he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and they crank out Cyrus coins.
Yes, that's right.
You know,
right.
With Cyrus on one side and Trump on the other,
wasn't
it? Cyrus
let them go back to rebuild their temple.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you think the Jews were excited about that?
Yeah.
You know how they're going to act when they get peace on the Temple Mount and they are able to go up on the Temple Mount in freedom to worship. And then that's when their eyes are going to be open to the false Messiah.
That's right. It won't be the Cyrus coin. It'll be the temple coin.
Yes.
For the sacrifices on the Temple Mount.
Wow. Amazing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Koinonia. Going on.
Koinonia.
Different kind.
Some of you will get that. Some of you won't. Okay.
Look it up.
Yes. On the boats and on the planes. All right, we're going to go to the timesofisrael.com for an article dated February 19th. This is speaking from the White House. There are many arguments for striking Iran, and they'd be wise to make a deal.
Yes.
So, but the question is, can the White House really trust Iran with everything that we've talked about in that mindset, in that culture, that to lie for the cause of Allah, to further the cause of Allah, lying is fine?
Yeah.
So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but what do you think about
that? Of course they can't trust him. No, this is all going to be just something that's a ruse. They can't trust him. The president knows that, and that's why he's giving him Greg.
Does he really know that?
I think he has enough people around him that are telling him that, to where he at least is going, okay, and they're telling him, historically, it's never worked, Mr. President. Historically, they've always lied.
But maybe he's got to make it look like he's made every effort.
Well, and he is, but now he's given him the 10 days. An additional 10 days, and he said if they don't do something within 10 days, they said the military told the president today, we are ready to strike by Saturday. Everything's ready to go. We could if you wanted us to. He's saying, well, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, this kind of thing, we're going to wait and see, and it's going to be really big, whatever it is, it's going to be big, and we'll see what happens there. So I'm working on it.
I'm working on it.
You got to feel it.
I've
but either
hope.
Way,
I've
yes,
got hope.
Got hope.
I've
by
got
the time
faith
he's
in
out,
you.
We'll have it.
Yes.
Then I'll have to work on the next president. But either way, So he's going to put out his favorite song, Greg. It's going to be Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. It's going to be great. It's going to be big. It's going to be a big hit. We're thinking about it. We're looking at it. Anyway, okay.
Oh, my.
So, and of course, in my jokes, our heart goes out to the people of Iran. We're not joking about those in Iran that can be harmed from this.
They really want their freedom, and who doesn't?
Well, and we need to be praying for the people of Iran and for the church. Again, there's a serious issue, again, you know, that's going on there. So, but at the same time, he's given them a 10-day window. He says to decide, he said, it's really going to be bad. He talks, you know, if you don't do it, it's going to really be bad. And there's so much buildup. I think we're too far in. I think it's really going to, Iran's not going to back down and say, we won't do this. And if they do, then they have to give it up. So it's one thing they say, I think the president in the past, they've said, okay, we won't do it. And everybody backs down. This president's going to say, okay, now let us come in and we're going to take it. No. They won't do that. So I think you're going to see something within 10 days. Now, what's interesting about this, and we'll get to the article, but Greg, this is interesting. They're in Ramadan.
Yes.
This is the month of Ramadan.
It started this past Wednesday.
Yes, and for a full month, this is their month, their holy month, where they do, you know, they fast every day, and then they eat a lot at night. But either way, and it's their month-long celebration of this kind of stuff. And typically during Ramadan, you know, you would think that's not a time to strike because there's more religious fervor. You know, you hit us at our holy time. No, we're going to fight back. But if he does this, he's kind of like in your face. You know, I'm doing this no matter what, and we're not going to avoid it. But the White House warned on Wednesday that Iran would be wise to make a deal with the United States as the U.S. President Donald Trump once again hinted at military action. The two sides recently resumed indirect talks mediated by Oman after Trump repeatedly threatened military action against Iran over a deadly crackdown on protesters last month and subsequently over its nuclear program. And I quote, Iran would be very wise, if they would make a deal with President Trump and his administration, the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt. Oh, I can't do her, so we can't do that one.
No, you can't do that one.
Saying there are many reasons and arguments one could make for a strike against Iran. CBS News reported that Trump had been told by his top national security advisors that the U.S. military could launch strikes on Iran as soon as Saturday, as it continued its buildup of forces in the Middle East. The network said the president had yet to make a decision on whether to greenlight an attack. I think the decision's been made. He's probably saying with the timing, he's not going to tell anybody when that's going to be. And plus, if they think he's going to wait, that's probably when he'll do it. And so he's been very clever so far in what he's done. Citing sources familiar with the matter, the U.S. broadcaster said the timeline for a decision was expected to extend beyond the weekend, adding that the Pentagon was temporarily shifting some personnel out of the Middle East in the coming days as it readies for a potential Iranian counterattack if it launches strikes. Now, let me add this, because Israel today pulled all of their people from their military bases, except for the personnel that have to fight. And that means somebody told them something. That means, they expect if America strikes that Iran's going to start lobbing missiles at them, and they're going to be shooting at their military
bases. Which they've done before.
Always. So the fact that Israel has suddenly pulled other people, I mean, yes, could they have done that out of, and we'll use the phrase, an abundance of caution, as they always say. Could they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. However, it looks like, when you see stuff like that, it looks like somebody like Marco Rubio or somebody called up Netanyahu and said, hey, look, get your guys out of their bases. We're about to do something here. And so the timing, we'll find out. They've been kind of saber rattling for a while now. I thought it'd be sooner than this. We'll see if he holds to the 10-day thing, if they can trick him any longer than that. But again, I think something's going to be happening fairly soon. And by the way, do we have an article in here about Tucker Carlson? I know that's a
no.
If we have time at the end, remind me that I want to talk a little bit about, because he just went to Israel. And I want to talk about what happened when he went there. But yeah, but as far as this goes, because I was going to mention it now, but we'll wait. We'll find out. This is going to be very, very interesting. And, you know, it's going to be, I think, a light show in Iran. And again, we need to be praying for the people there to be protected that are innocent. We need to be praying for the church there, especially our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and for just them to be able to go in and get out the bad guys. And again, how this is going to play into, again, this doesn't stop the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. It doesn't stop it. This is going to further enhance it some way.
All right, in One World Government news, this is another opportunity, Pastor Mark, for you to do your President Trump impersonation, because this is from the timesofisrael.com, dated February 19th. Trump's Board of Peace to convene for the first time as the U.S. is bullish on disarmament prospects.
He has them all standing there, right? They're all standing there for the picture today, the video, and he has them. He's controlling everything. Guns N' Roses is playing in the background.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but it wasn't like Come to the Jungle or things like that. It was some of the song they'd done that's a musical thing. I'd never heard it. It's called November Rain. I looked it up just because I don't listen to Guns N' Roses, but I looked it up because they said they're playing November Rain. I thought maybe if it had lyrics, there may be some prophetic significance here, but there wasn't. I think it's just a musical thing.
I think it's the perfect thing for his Board of Peace. It's like, either you can have a rose, Greg, or you can have my gun.
Isn't that just like him? But isn't that like him? It's like, here, I'm offering you both.
Yes.
We'll give you a rose and a piece, and we'll kiss, you know, and make up, or else we're going to just, you know, we're going to, you know, drop the bomb.
Oh, my.
I mean, really, think about that. He asked him, you know, do you like the music? Do you like the music? He was looking around like,
is that what he did?
Yes, yes. And all these world leaders, they were like, yes, yes, we like the music.
Of course we do. Yes, King.
That's right.
Yes.
Whatever he says, he's going to get, and they're going to
do.
But, you know, by the way, even before we get it on the Board of Peace thing, Greg, look at this. Look what he's done.
Yeah.
He's put himself at one of the most powerful, it will be, I think, within 3 years, one of the most powerful institutions in the world. So when he steps out of the presidency, guess who's overseeing still one of the most powerful presidences and organizations in the world? Him.
Yeah.
That's amazing. He's leaving himself as a powerful man in the world, even when he steps out of the White House. Now, I think you need to pass that on to all your liberal friends. Let them realize that, because that'll drive them crazy. It's like, you're not getting rid of him in 3 years.
No.
You're not. He's still going to be doing the dance. He's going to be doing it with a bunch of world leaders, and he's going to be, you know, it's very interesting to watch this unfold. But anyway, U.S. President Donald Trump's Board of Peace will hold an inaugural meeting, which they did on Thursday in Washington yesterday, where it aims to advance the reconstruction of Gaza despite looming questions whether Hamas would agree or to disarm and will consent to a further withdrawal from the Strip, and so the planned rebuild can move ahead. It was held, of course, at the YMCA. I'm joking. It was not. We are under no illusion on the challenges regarding demilitarization.
That got Ed to laugh.
But we have been encouraged by what the mediators have reported back, said senior U.S. official, a senior U.S. official on Wednesday. While the U.S. is branding Thursday's gathering as an inaugural meeting, the Board of Peace members met last month in Switzerland. Terrible place, horrible background, and really nothing fun there. That would have been amazing for a signing ceremony on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum. By the way, you know, it's interesting. The Pope did decline right now to be a part of it. I don't know whether or not he will be or won't be, but there's going to be this. If this ends up being that whole thing that the Antichrist starts working through somewhere down the road, he's going to get involved.
He's going to get involved
some way.
Yeah.
It says, who's coming? Well, the U.S.
Who's coming to dinner?
Yes. Who's coming to the peace board?
Yes.
Who's going to, you know, rule the world with President Trump doing his dance with the YMCA?
Yes.
And yes. Anyway.
Okay.
So.
More on that to come.
Yes. Yes. Daniel, who's 9, invited 27 people to be on that board. I'm just kidding. Daniel chapter 9:27 talks about this agreement later on. Anyway, who's coming? The U.S. invited heads of state to join Trump at the Washington confab, but many opted to stay home. With Bahrain's king, Hamad al-Khalifa, the lone Middle Eastern country head, making the trip. Nearly 50 countries will still be represented, with Israel, Jordan, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, Qatar, and other sending foreign ministers as another senior cabinet member. So it is underway. Again, I am not saying this is going to formulate into the peace grouping where the Antichrist
the
is going to take
government.
Over. However, it is the first world peace organization that has the potential, because the UN is truly a loser. It is the UN. It is the United Nothing. They get nothing done. All they do is attack Israel. They're used by the enemy. They have no real power. I mean, it's ridiculous what they do. So keep your eye on this, and we'll keep you up to date as we go through this. But again, just exciting days in which we live, my friends. Keep looking up and be ready for the Lord. Good stuff.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the Signs of the Times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 403, which is easier to listen to than listening to your GPS recalculating for the 14th time because you thought you knew a shortcut. And now,
you've got mail.
We've got two listener questions, Pastor Mark, from the same person this week. This comes from Aaron, enjoying Signs of the Times in Maryville. And his first question is regarding the 7,000-year millennial day from Clarence
Great
Larkin's
question, by the way.
Prophetic charts. Says that his charts present a 7,000-year framework of human history theory with 6,000 years leading into Christ's millennial reign. Some of his timelines appear to point toward a 2000 AD as close of the sixth day. How should we understand that today? Does that weaken the 7,000-year model, or was that never meant to be date setting? No. Obviously, nobody knows the day or the hour of the rapture.
Right. I do believe, Aaron, it was a prophetic timetable for when the Lord's coming back. Again, we don't know the day or the hour, but I do believe there's a 6,000 years waiting and a 7,000th year. That is, you know, 6,000 years of the earth from a certain start of the clock, which I'll get to in a moment, and then 1,000 years of Jesus ruling and reigning for a complete 7 years, which is the number of completion. I agree with Larkin. I agree. I think this is right. We'll find out. I think this is legitimate. However, a great question because, you know, well, then what's going on? Why didn't it happen in 2000? Let me tell you. Number one, first of all, we now have found out that our dating method at zero was wrong. It probably should really be minus one rather than zero because of some recent discoveries and ages of people. It we're probably, rather than 2026, we're probably really right now in 2025. Or actually, no, we're one behind. We're probably really in 2027 right now. Either way, we're off a year in our dating calendar, but nobody's going to change it because we're too far down the road. I don't think we're going to suddenly change. And it could. I mean, they could do something like that. But really, zero was probably, I think, most scholars believe now.
So that means you're actually older than what you are.
Isn't that sad?
Okay.
Let me make it even worse. When you were born, you were 10 months old. And at 2 months, you were a year old because you began your life in the womb.
Yeah.
But we regulate it at birth.
Yes, of course.
But actually, you're in your second month, you're already a year old. So you can now go, I was older and they told me I was young and all, you should have gotten your license sooner and all that. But okay, so probably really you're looking at, you know, we're not exactly accurate even on that. But that didn't change much. You know how you're looking at a year, two, mm-hmm. three, 4 years, whatever.
What's that in the context of everything?
Okay, here's what's so cool about this era.
Okay.
Adam and Eve lived for a while before they fell. And we don't know how long they lived. And until they fell, when Jesus came back to start the time clock to redeem what man messed up, it would have probably begun at the fall of Adam. In other words, if Adam lived 50 years, you'd probably get 50 years into creation, and then the 6,000-year clock would start, which would mean it wouldn't be till 2050 that we'd be at the 6,000-year point. So it depends on how long it was that Adam until Adam sinned. I suspect that... Adam probably, you know, you're probably getting close. I don't want to start even getting into, I'm not going to start getting into speculation because people start setting dates and numbers and nobody knows the day or the hour. But the bottom line is, how old was Adam when he fell? And the time clock, you know, when the Lord came back to restore the earth, he wanted to give, there had to be 6,000 years of God working in restoration. And then the 7,000th year, make it a 7,000 years. I'm not saying that's the answer, but I think that could very likely be what it is. However old Adam was when he sinned might be how long we have to go past 2,000 to get this process to begin where we'll finally see the Lord come back and we'll have that completion of it. Because 6 is the number of man, 7 is the number of completion. And again, we have the new kingdom coming after the 7,000 years. 8 is the number of new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe we're going to have 6,000 years from whenever Adam fell to when the Lord comes back. Then you're going to have 1,000 years with the Lord. Then you're going to have the brand new heaven and the new earth for eternity. And that'll head into a new beginning.
Okay. All right. If you've got a question like Aaron, just follow his example and make your way over to thewaymedia.net. And you'll see where it says Signs of the Times, and you're just a few clicks away from that to ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question that we will talk about on our next
And by the way, it was April 6th. That's when it was. I already know. It was April 6th. When I look at the different dates, I'm thinking of different scholars. I got confused for a moment, but it was April 6th,
April 6th.
AD 32, that he wrote in, and then we know there was the eclipse after. Anyway,
fantastic.
Right, so we're good.
Well, we might be good, but the region of Madagascar, that area there, is not doing good. This is from yahoonews.com, dated February 13th. Dozens killed and thousands displaced as a powerful cyclone rips through Madagascar.
And by the way, just so you know, the reason I was confused on that is the calendar, the Jewish calendar does not line up. I was thinking about the date of the Passover and the way that it happens each month where it falls. They go in 30-day cycles, and I was thinking the actual date is April 6th that he wrote in, but that doesn't line up with the 6th of the regular calendar that we follow. So didn't mean to add any confusion there, but I wanted to clear it up that it was indeed the 6th that he wrote in, and you have to match that up with the calendar that the Romans used as compared to the Roman or the Jewish religious calendar. Yes, and you're right. There are many arguments in striking Iran. No, we did that one. Sorry, I didn't. I thought I erased that one already.
Were pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, the Madagascar
cycle. All my articles disappeared. I had to go back and reload them. That's why it's happened twice today.
Oh my!
And that's why I started rereading that one. So this We've got a little bit of a battle going on today. Here. Yes, but this was Let me make sure I got the right ones because I had my
Yahoo
brain.
News article number 4.
Dozens killed. There we go. I'm with you now. Sorry. So I had to reset because I was thinking about my April 6th date, and I was also thinking about where'd my notes go. All right, here we are. Cyclone Gazani. That sounds scary.
That does sound scary.
Cyclone Gazani tore through, not Tasmania, but Toa's Masina, a port city of about 300,000 on the island of the east side. Late on Tuesday, with wind speeds topping 121 miles per hour, collapsing buildings, accounting for a large share of fatalities. According to the National Disaster Management Agency, around 36 people sustained serious injuries. 4 remain unlocated, and upward of 6,000 had to abandon where they lived. It's devastation, I quote. Roofs have been blown away, walls collapsed, power poles are down, trees have been uprooted. It looks like a catastrophic landscape, said Michael, a resident who declined to provide his surname by phone. What's interesting is, Greg, the article goes on to say, and that's, you say, okay, so there's a hurricane or a cyclone. What's the big deal? Those happen. But in the article, one of the headlines says, why are the cyclone seasons worsening? Why is that a concern that they're worsening? They don't talk about them worsening as much, but why is it a concern that they're worsening? It says cyclones typically barrel through between November and March, giving communities almost no breathing room to piece things back together between hits.
Yeah.
So that's they come from a different way. They're saying they're assuming that you know that it's getting worse, but they're saying here's why getting worse matters. No, what I want to focus on is they're saying it's getting worse. Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning. Matthew 24, you're going to see more and more of these events in the last day. So it's not about a hurricane or a cyclone. It's about
frequency and intensity.
Yes. And so this article is talking about, hey, it's getting worse and worse and worse as far as that place goes. That's exactly what we would expect. And why is that encouraging? Not because things are getting worse. It's encouraging because the Lord told us it's going to happen the closer we get to his return. So what's encouraging is we're getting closer to his return. So we can be excited.
We're going to just switch our articles. We're going to go to article number 6 on this one because this kind of fits in with the whole, natural disasters happening. This is from Yahoo News dated February 15th. Millions left hungry as deadly conditions lead to beginning of mass animal die-off, visible signs of malnutrition and wasting.
Yeah, again, we go to Matthew 24. Again, he said famines will increase in the last days, and you're going to see it worse and worse. The numbers are staggering, the article says. More than 3 million people in Somalia have left their homes following a devastating drought that has hit the country's rural regions. It is estimated that almost 6 million people in the East African country need aid. Of those in need of help, 1.85 million are children. The impacts of 4 straight failed rainy seasons have destroyed crops and killed livestock across large portions of Africa, while the worst conditions have peaked in Somalia. The bordering countries of Ethiopia and Kenya are also suffering. More than 2 million people in Kenya alone are facing hunger amid the ongoing drought that has left livestock emaciated in livestock-rearing communities. So this is sad, guys, but you're going to see more and more of this happening as we enter into the last days. So this will be increasing as well. Contractions, it's going to be increasing.
All right, our next article, Pastor Mark, comes from FoxNews.com, dated February 17th. Family fights for change after their diabetic son, age 26, was euthanized under the MAID law. This is out of Canada.
It's like he's a dog.
Yeah.
Canada has totally gone dark. And this is so scary, guys. Look, there is no sanctity of life. There's no respect for life. Man is created in God's image. It is sacred. Satan hates God, so he hates man, so he hates that we're made in the image of God. Kill him in the womb, kill him out of the womb, kill him wherever you want. This is just barbaric. I can't believe in my lifetime I'm seeing
this.
Putting people to sleep, putting them to death, murder. This is murder.
It's murder.
And Canada is now, again, just gone off the deep end. Now, this gets scary because we're seeing it now in America. Listen to this. First of all, Canada. The grieving parents of a 26-year-old man are speaking out against Canada's medical assistance in dying, called MAID, the MAID laws, arguing the system failed to protect their vulnerable son from being euthanized despite a history of mental illness. They want to kill the vulnerable. That's the point. Survival of the fittest. Keanu Vafavian was euthanized on December 30th, 2025. Listen to what that says. It's like you want to put your dog down. This is a man. In British Columbia, his family says he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Okay. At the age of 4, began struggling with mental health after a car accident at 17. His mother, Margaret Marcilla of Ontario, said his depression was often seasonal, yet he became obsessed with, MAID, the possibility of having them put him to death after losing vision in one eye in 2022. Look, I understand starting to lose hope, especially if you're an unbeliever, as your body's wearing out. But God has us here for a reason. We need to fulfill our purpose, and we're getting a new body in the kingdom. The family said Vafavian was rejected by multiple doctors, good for them, in Ontario, before he sought out Dr. Ellen Weeb, a prominent MAID provider. This person is evil. In British Columbia, Marcella believes Weeb coached her son on what to say to meet the criteria for Track 2 patients.
Oh, wow.
Those whose natural deaths are not reasonably imminent. In other words, let me tell you what to say so they'll let us put you to death.
Wow.
This is so evil. Now, here's where it gets, guys, look at this. Bad enough in Canada. Canada's been messed up for a long time. They're leading the way in delusion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not far behind. Listen to this. You ready for this? In New York, which has gone over the cliff with Mamdani now, and the people are doing, I told you it was going to happen, they're doing the AM, the early calls to prayer. The Muslim calls to prayer now, in hearing it through the streets of New York. I told you it was coming. It's going to get worse and worse while he's there. But anyway, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed an assisted suicide bill into law on Monday.
Yeah, we talked about her doing that.
This really magnifies it.
Yes.
Making New York the 13th state, plus the District of Columbia, to legalize allowing physicians to aid terminally ill adults in dying by suicide. The law will go into effect in 6 months. Self-murder and helped murder. It is evil. Kevorkian would be just rejoicing right
yes.
now. He led the way in this stuff.
He sure did.
And it is just evil. It is demonic. And it is satanic, because Satan does not want people to have an opportunity to get saved and give their life to the Lord. Catch them when they're depressed. They're not going to come to God. If you can kill them quick enough, maybe. I mean, again, it's just so evil and so demonic. And this, we've got to fight against this, guys. Make your voice known. This is evil. It's an uphill battle, because if they're going to kill babies in the womb, they're going to kill them out of the womb. And we've opened up, the Pandora's box by allowing our babies to be put to death. And now we're doing it with adults. Unbelievable.
All right, our church article this week comes from the Christian Post, dated February 13th. This, according to Lifeway Research, fewer than a third of churchgoers read the Bible daily. You know, Pastor Mark, I'm confused. It seems like every week we get a different article about something's good about the Bible, something's bad about the Bible, and I don't know where the truth is in all of this.
Well, because they play with the numbers.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. Like for example, you know, this recent thing about... you saw the statistic that said only 14% of the illegals have really done a serious crime and they're taking them out of the country and all. Well, no, actually it's about over 70% have done serious crimes. But what they're doing is they're calling serious crimes murder and rape. So then you go filter it. You take the 70% and then you filter it down and go, okay, only 14% murdered and raped anybody. So look what you're doing. You're taking out 14% and everybody else are good guys. Well, no, the rest of them are stealing. The rest of them are DUIs. The rest of them are, and so it's still bad.
Yeah.
But see, you take the numbers. Well, I'm not saying they're intentionally doing this, Greg. But what they're saying is, let me read some of it. Fewer than 1 in 3 Protestants who attend church services at least once a month. So look at the category here. They're Protestants at least once a month. If you took those who were coming every Sunday, you'd have a different number. If you take those who came every 6 Sundays, you have a different number. So that percentage is going to change every time you read a new article based on what they're looking for. But at least once a month, read the Bible on a daily basis, according to a recent report from Lifeway Research. A report published Tuesday, based on the research, stated 31% of Protestant churchgoers, that is, of those who, go at least once every 3 months, read their Bible every day, while 30% do so a few times a week. Now, if you change that to those that came every week, I bet you'd have a higher number of percentage that read their Bible. So either way, though, again, when you see that people are not reading their Bibles, it explains to me why we're in the situation that we're in America. Listen to me, saints. You've got to be reading your Bible every day. What if this is your spiritual food? What if you said, okay, I'm only going to eat once every 3 weeks? Start doing that. What do you think you're going to be like? You're going to be emaciated. You're going to be getting down to nothing. You're going to be weak, and eventually you're going to die because you're not eating. If you're not eating the Word of God, you're going to be emaciated spiritually, and eventually you're going to die spiritually. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about you're going to die spiritually and having any connection to God and being effective for the kingdom because you have no strength. It says the growing church is, this is an interesting statement. By the way, I wish, you know, when I see these numbers though, Greg, remember when he planted the seed, he says that there was a one part of them that were broken up in four parts. And I don't know that it's 25%. I'm not saying that. Mm. But one part had no fruit, right? It fell by the wayside, didn't do anything. The other part had temporary, came up and sun hit it, got hot. The other part choked out by the cares of the world. Nothing. There was only about 25%. I.e. 30% that had real fruit. So you wonder, is this a picture of really the true believer and maybe or the one that's really going for it and the one that's not? But either way, that's God, God will sort all that
sort
out.
Yeah.
But listen to this. I love the last part of this Lifeway article. This is what they said. This is not a Calvary Chapel. This is Lifeway. And I quote, "The growing churches in America right now aren't the ones with the flashiest worship teams or trendiest branding. They're the ones that open the Bible and teach it. Line by line, verse by verse, book by book."
Wow.
That describes Calvary Chapel.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we,
that's
do,
what we do.
And we are a growing church.
Yeah.
So again, I look at that and go, that's exactly because people want the word of God. They want to be taught the word and we should be teaching them.
Yeah. And well, and not only that, Isaiah 55 says that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it set out to do. If you let God's word loose in your life, God's word is undefeated.
Absolutely.
You'll change. You'll grow.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's enjoy some good news, and then we'll get to your Tucker Carlson comments.
I want to make a quick comment.
This is from the Christian Post. This is fantastic. I didn't expect this. This was good. This is dated February 13th. Hundreds of evangelicals share the gospel at the Milano Cortina 2026 Winter Olympics.
Yes, the 25th global event running from February 6th to the 22nd has brought together about 2,900 athletes from 92 nations and is the most geographically widespread Winter Olympics in history. Again, while they're there, these mission teams are there as well. They're continuing the evangelistic outreach called Who Am I? It's an apologetics campaign originated in the 2024 Paris Olympics, so it's new. It involves engaging residents and spectators with conversation starter cards featuring questions about identity, meaning, and purpose, ultimately leading them to discover the answer in Jesus. Bibles are being distributed as well. And again, it's a large-scale opportunity, again, to impact a lost world. Like you said, global lostness is what they're trying to reach. Salt Lake City-based worship collective, the Rock Music, called The Rock Music, is also in northern Italy for a high-profile during this time mission trip. The Winter Olympics partnership, partnering with YWAM and the local Italian congregations. And I quote, "Our heart is to share the gospel message to all nations, and the nations are coming to Italy, so we felt impressed to go as well. The Rock Music founder and worship leader, Steele Crosswhite, told the Gospel Music Association." So the bottom line is you've got a great missions outreach going on there at the Olympics, and praise the Lord for the Baptist, Southern Baptist doing that. It's a great work.
Yeah, that is good. All right, so Tucker Carlson in the Catholic Church, and what's going on there?
Well, real quickly again.
I'm sorry, his trip to Israel.
Trip to Israel, yes. You know, Tucker Carlson has been attacking the Jews and attacking Israel on a regular basis over the last year or so, really turning on them, which again is a sign of the last days. It says everybody will turn against him. He's really being used by the enemy. But with that said, he said he agreed to go to Israel to speak with Mike Huckabee because he kept attacking Israel, and he said, "I want to talk to you about it." He said, "Okay, I'll go." So he goes there. Listen, I've been to Israel now 16 times. When you go to Israel, they check you up and down. They question you. They want to know, why are you here? Who are you? What are you doing? Because they have so many people that hate them and want to kill them.
Yeah.
So he gets there, and I saw the video. They welcome him. They greet him, but then they start questioning him. What's your purpose? What are you doing? He gets mad. When he leaves, he says, "They detained me, and they pulled me in a room, and they questioned me, and it just proves that Israel's bad," just like I was saying. And he's got to know that he's lying. Because he was treated like every person that goes into Israel. He was not treated any different, probably better, because he's there hugging them and they're taking a picture with him. It's sickening to hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
It is this.
He smiles to their face,
listen,
and stabs them in their back.
The enemy is really using him right now to attack Jews and the nation of Israel when God has made his promises to the chosen people. Don't listen to guys like this. They're lying about what's going on. He says that the Christian population has shrunk. The Christian population, from the time they came in a nation, according to even to the UN, which hates Israel, has gone from 50,000 to 180,000. It has grown. The Christian population has grown in Israel. He's out there telling everybody, no, it's going less. They're oppressing Christians. It's Christianity's growing. So everything he's telling you is false. This is a spiritual battle. Listen to those who know Israel. Listen to those who have been to Israel. Do your homework and realize this. God promised the nation of Israel, you are my people. I will complete my promise to you. I will bring you back in the last days, which he says he's going to do. He said, as long as the sun and the moon are still shining, my promises remain to you. I'm not going to change my mind. Have the Jews done bad things over the years? Are there bad Jews today? Absolutely. Just like America and every other person on the planet. It doesn't nullify the promises of God because there have been some things that have been done wrong by Israel or by some of the Jewish people. God said, I'm going to keep my promise. And again, as long as the sun and moon are shining, those promises stand. And it was an unconditional promise. The sun and moon are doing fine. The sun's doing great today here. And there was an unconditional promise out of Genesis 15 where God made a covenant that wasn't reliant on Abraham. It was simply God's promise to the Jewish people. He said, the last days I'm bringing them back. They're going back by the millions. God is keeping his word. And prophetically, we see that when Jesus comes back, the Jews will be there. And the tribes of Israel, talks about it in Zechariah, the tribes of Israel will see him come back and be mourning because they rejected their Messiah. So don't listen to these people. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the Bible. That is your authority. And by the way, we're going on a trip here in 2027, May 10th through the 22nd. We'll have information out soon. For those of you that want to join us, if any of our listeners would like to jump in and join us, you're welcome to do that. And God willing, we'll be able to go back and see the land again. A lot of new discoveries. It's an amazingly wonderful trip. But really, again, more than that, we hope you give your life to Jesus. And even today, you'd call out to him if you don't know him.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you as always. And thank you, folks, for listening to our broadcast. Each and every week, we are here. And we are also online at thewaymedia.net, where you can get other things from Pastor Mark, including his daily radio program, Come to the Table, and the teachings from the pulpit of Calvary Knoxville. We hope you can enjoy all those things and enjoy your time in church this Sunday, and then come back next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
WIAM LP 101.1 FM.